Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Trillion Dollar Triage by Nick Timmerhouse is a fast-paced account of how the U.S. Federal Reserve confronted two simultaneous shocks, intense political pressure from President Donald Trump and the sudden economic freeze triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic. Written by a seasoned Wall Street Journal reporter known for close coverage of the central bank, the book frames the Fed response as an emergency room-style intervention, with policymakers racing to stabilize markets before panic could cascade into a deeper collapse. Timmerhouse traces key decisions made under Chair Jerome Powell, from calming short-term funding markets to launching unprecedented lending programs and large-scale asset purchases. Along the way, the narrative explains how the Fed's tools work, why confidence can evaporate in modern finance, and how quickly liquidity problems can become solvency crises. The result is an accessible, behind-the-scenes chronicle of monetary policy in extremis and the institutional trade-offs that came with deploying trillions of dollars to prevent economic disaster. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Fed as crisis manager under Jerome Powell, a central theme, is how the Federal Reserve shifted from gradual, data-driven policymaking to high-velocity crisis management. The book follows Jerome Powell and senior officials as they interpret confusing signals, decide when to act, and calibrate messages meant to steady expectations. It highlights the Fed's dual role, a technocratic institution tasked with maximum employment and stable prices, and a market backstop whose words and actions can change risk-taking overnight. Timmerhouse shows how leadership style matters in emergencies, including the need to build consensus on the Federal Open Market Committee while moving quickly enough to stay ahead of fear. Readers see why central banks focus on plumbing issues such as liquidity and market functioning, not because they ignore the real economy, but because breakdowns in core funding markets can choke credit to households and businesses. The narrative also emphasizes constraints. The Fed must protect its credibility, justify extraordinary steps, and remain aware that every intervention can create expectations of future rescues. This topic grounds the rest of the book by explaining how Powell's Fed defined the problem, chose priorities, and accepted trade-offs under extreme uncertainty. Secondly, political pressure, independence, and the Trump era, Timmerhouse examines how the Fed navigated a period when the White House publicly criticized interest rate decisions and repeatedly pressed for easier money. The book uses this backdrop to explain why central bank independence is treated as a public good. It helps anchor inflation expectations, reassures markets that decisions are not timed for elections, and protects long-term stability even when short-term politics demand stimulus. At the same time, the Fed is not insulated from politics. It is created by Congress, subject to oversight, and dependent on public legitimacy. The narrative explores how Powell and colleagues communicated in a way designed to avoid direct confrontation while resisting the perception of being guided by partisan demands. The tension becomes especially important once the pandemic hits because extraordinary lending programs require Treasury involvement and carry distributional implications. Readers come away with a practical understanding of how independence is maintained in practice through process, careful language, adherence to a mandate, and a willingness to tolerate criticism. The book also clarifies that political conflict is not only noise, it can shape market psychology and complicate crisis response when speed and trust are essential. Thirdly, from market panic to stabilization, liquidity, credit, and confidence, a major portion of the story focuses on the cascade that followed the sudden stop in economic activity. Investors rushed to cash, key markets became disorderly, and even traditionally safe corners of finance showed strain. Timmerhouse explains how modern crises often begin as liquidity events, when normal buyers disappear and the cost of financing jumps. If unaddressed, that liquidity shock can morph into a credit crisis as firms and households lose access to funding and are forced into layoffs or default. The book details how the Fed intervened to restore basic functioning using tools such as rate cuts, repurchase operations, and large-scale purchases to reduce stress and signal commitment. It also describes how announcements themselves can be powerful, sometimes calming markets before programs are fully utilized. This topic underscores that central banking in a panic is partly about psychology, convincing participants that there will be a buyer of last resort and that the payment system will keep working. The discussion helps readers understand why seemingly technical facilities matter to everyday outcomes like mortgage rates, business payrolls, and the availability of municipal finance. The stabilization efforts are portrayed as triage, stopping the bleeding first, so fiscal policy and private activity can recover later. Fourthly, unprecedented tools, emergency lending, and the limits of monetary policy, the book lays out how the Fed reached beyond its usual playbook, leaning on emergency authorities and building facilities aimed at corporate credit, municipal markets, and smaller business support through partnerships with the Treasury. Timirau's contextualizes these moves as a response to the scale and uniqueness of the pandemic shock, while also emphasizing the legal and institutional boundaries that make the Fed different from a normal government spending agency. A key idea is that the Fed can lend against collateral and provide liquidity, but it cannot directly replace lost income or choose winners without raising questions of legitimacy. The narrative shows the balancing act, design programs broad enough to stabilize markets, yet constrained enough to avoid stepping into fiscal policymaking. It also addresses criticism from multiple sides, including concerns that interventions disproportionately support asset holders or large firms, and fears that backstops encourage excessive risk-taking in the future. Readers learn why some programs were structured more as confidence signals than heavily used pipelines of credit, and how coordination with the Treasury shaped what was possible. This topic clarifies the difference between monetary policy, lender of last resort functions, and fiscal relief, and why crisis response often blurs those lines even when policymakers try to keep them distinct. Lastly, after the rescue, consequences, inflation debates, and institutional lessons, Timirau closes the arc by showing that preventing collapse does not end the story. Once stability returns, the focus turns to side effects, including expanded Fed balance sheets, changed market expectations, and the debate over whether extraordinary support would complicate future inflation control. The book situates these questions in the broader evolution of Fed strategy, including a willingness to prioritize labor market recovery and a shift toward more inclusive employment goals. It also illuminates how difficult it is to unwind emergency measures without triggering renewed instability, especially when markets have adapted to a powerful backstop. This topic examines lessons about preparedness and early warning signs, the importance of understanding financial plumbing, the role of clear communication, and the value of acting decisively when confidence is fragile. It also highlights the reputational stakes for Powell and the institution, because credibility built during crisis must be preserved when conditions normalize. For readers, the takeaway is that central banking is a series of trade-offs across time. Aggressive action can prevent immediate disaster, but it can also reshape incentives and constraints for years. The book encourages a nuanced view that neither romanticizes rescues nor dismisses them, instead asking what a successful intervention should look like and what costs are acceptable in exchange for stability. In conclusion, this book is well suited for readers who want a clear, narrative-driven understanding of how the Federal Reserve operates when the economy is on the brink. It will appeal to investors, business leaders, policy students, journalists, and general readers who followed the COVID-era headlines but want to know what happened behind the curtain and why certain interventions were chosen. The practical benefit is perspective. You learn how financial panic spreads, why liquidity matters, and how policy communication can influence outcomes as much as technical tools. That understanding can improve how you interpret market news, assess risk, and separate short-term noise from structural shifts in the economy. Compared with many central banking books that lean heavily on theory, Trillion Dollar Triage stands out for its immediacy and clarity, turning complicated mechanisms into a coherent story about people making decisions under pressure. It also captures the unusual mix of political conflict and public health crisis that defined the period, showing how institutional independence is tested in real time. If you are choosing among similar books, this one is worth buying for its accessible reporting style, its focus on decision-making moments, and its ability to explain the stakes without requiring a technical background. If you would like to support Nick Timirau, you can buy the books through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.